What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, October 2nd, 2020. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. We have a lot to talk about today. I'm going to try and catch up with some of the news that got sort of ignored and abandoned earlier in the week here. So we're going to hold off opening the phone lines until at least the bottom half of the hour. And, of course, in hour number two, the lovely Lady Claire will be joining us with her unique perspective on the world here. Obviously, the big news today is that President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania have both tested positive for COVID-19. Apparently, one of their staffers, Hope Hicks, came down with the illness, was traveling with them on one of their campaign trips on Air Force One, and they tried to isolate her on Air Force One, but it didn't really take. And so now everybody's trying to find out how long Trump has had this, how many other people he's possibly exposed. Joe Biden and Chris Wallace may have been exposed during Tuesday's debate here. So the news has just been totally focused on this all day long here, with all kinds of doctors and medical experts weighing in and basically saying that they caught it early. The symptoms are very, very mild. Doctors are recommending zinc treatments and remdesivir, or whatever they call it. I forget how it's pronounced. They're talking about recommending that here. One of the most disgusting things about all of this is seeing all the Democrats out on social media who are literally dancing with joy that the president has come down ill. And I think it betrays sort of the culture of the Democratic Party that they would behave this way, because, you know, you don't want to see anybody get sick with any disease, let alone COVID-19. And you don't celebrate and take joy in the fact that somebody has come down ill. And, you know, it really does paint a very dim picture of the Democratic personality, if you will, as to what's going on here. Now, a lot of people have wrote in about this. Some are out there saying this was done deliberately to get Trump out of the campaign in these last few weeks before the election here. Others are saying maybe the president and Hope Hicks and the first lady are the victims of the many false positives we've seen these tests produce. But it is reported they are showing mild symptoms. But then again, given that the COVID-19 test will show positive for any coronavirus, they could be down with the common cold. Anyway, Donald Trump tweeted out, "We're going to get through this together." They're self-isolating inside the White House residence. Melania Trump tweeted out saying, "We are feeling good." And they're basically hunkered down there in the White House. So a lot of people are now out there saying, was Trump a super spreader? And they're looking at the web of contacts the president has met over the last 7 days, including 8 flights, 2 helicopter rides, 3 rallies, 1 presidential debate, and hardly any masks. And so you have, again, a lot of these social media Democrats are out there saying, well, it's your own darn fault. You should have taken this more seriously. And again, the joy is uncontained, as it were. Now, Vice President Pence and his wife have tested negative for coronavirus. So has Joe and Jill Biden. And they're already talking about the possibility that Vice President Pence could take over the duties of the presidency under the 25th Amendment if Trump becomes incapacitated from COVID. Now, remember, he's in that age bracket where he's at greater risk for complications from COVID-19 than the general population. And according to this article I'm looking at that came from domagood.com, they're saying it could even be that the GOP has to pick a replacement candidate if the president becomes too ill before the election. I think that's really going on out there and painting the dragon on the wall. I think he's going to shake this. I'm sure he's got the very best doctors in the country working on him right now. Getting out to the more general political view, Hawaii's crazy Mazie Hirono is out there saying, "I want the Democrats to take back the Senate so we can have a serious discussion about court reform." So basically yesterday, when she was on MSNBC Live, Senator Mazie Hirono stressed the importance of Democrats taking back the Senate so they can talk about reforming the Supreme Court and, you know, packing the court enlarging the number of justices and then appointing a bunch of liberals to offset the current majority conservative justices that are sitting on the bench there. Apparently, the Democrats have formally requested that the confirmation of Judge Amy Coney Barrett be put off until after January's inauguration. So we'll see what's going to happen from that. Mazie Hirono suggested rotating circuit judges, limiting the years a Supreme Court justice can serve as part of a number of things court reform would entail. I am actually not that resistant to the idea that there should be a term limit or an age limit on Supreme Court justices, because with all due respect to the justices, as they do get on in years, we have to worry about their mental faculties and whether they can still perform or not. Now, sometimes justices will retire, and a lot of people are very upset that Ruth Bader Ginsburg didn't retire during the Obama administration, which would have allowed him to nominate a liberal judge to the bench here. Okay, U.S. District Judge William Austin has halted an effort by the Democrat-headed North Carolina State Board of Elections to eliminate the requirement that voters have a witness sign their mail-in ballots. Now, one can only speculate why the Democrats want to get rid of the requirement of a witness signature on the mail-in ballots, but I think it's to basically make it easier and less work to fake a bunch of them. So, as Raleigh, North Carolina, NBC affiliate WRAL noted, Judge Osteen, who was a George Bush appointee, was concerned the state board was going around existing law. All righty, getting on into protests and wokeness and the rest of it. Police investigating Breonna Taylor's ex-boyfriend as part of a drugs probe were repeatedly told that she was no longer receiving suspicious packages for him at her home, but they still listed it in their search warrant and raided it. Taylor was shot and killed as three cops returned fire on her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, who thought they were burglars during the March raid. Now it's come on out that the Louisville Police Forensics Lab couldn't identify or confirm that Kenneth Walker shot that police officer. There had been rumors that it was actually a friendly fire, that Kenneth Walker fired a shot that missed everybody. The other police opened fire and accidentally hit one of their own. Anyway, tragic situation here. Again, it's looking less and less like the police should have been there in the first place. Out in California, thanks to a bill signed into law Wednesday by Governor Gavin Newsom, the state of California will study reparations to Black Americans. Assembly Bill 3121 will create a 9-member task force to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans, with a special consideration for African Americans who are descendants of persons enslaved in the United States. Now, here's the wrinkle to show you just how weird California has gotten out there. California was admitted to the Union in 1850 as a free state. They have never had legal slavery in that state. And now Governor Newsom and his legislature are ready to penalize law-abiding Californians for crimes that were never committed within their state borders here. All right, I want to talk a little bit about Azerbaijan and Armenia. I know Claire's going to cover this an awful lot in hour number two. And by the way, if anybody there listening is from Azerbaijan or Armenia, hour number two is when you should call on in and give us your perspective on what's going on here. But Azerbaijan's President Ilham Aliyev says his country will keep fighting until Armenia forces fully withdraw from the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region as tensions continue between the two South Caucasus neighbors. We have only one condition, Aliyev said on Wednesday. Armenian armed forces must unconditionally, fully, and immediately leave our lands, saying if the Armenian government fulfills the demand, fighting and bloodshed will end and peace will be established in the region. Scores of deaths have been reported in the fighting over the past days, with Yerevan and Baku continuing to accuse one another of being responsible for the recent escalation in violence. Okay, President Macron in France says that Syrian jihadist fighters are operating in the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region, citing credible information. Now, yesterday we reported Syrian fighters had actually been killed in the region. That's pretty credible information right there. But apparently militants from extremist groups previously active in Syria have arrived in Nagorno-Karabakh amid the ongoing military conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan. Macron said, now we have credible information, which indicates Syrian fighters from some jihadi groups have reached the Nagorno-Karabakh battlefield through Gaziantep. My mistake. Macron told journalists as he arrived at an EU summit in Brussels. All right. The Nagorno-Karabakh fighting spreads. Yerevan says it shot down an Azeri drone near the capital as airstrike kills a man inside Armenia. So the fighting has spread beyond the borders of Nagorno-Karabakh, and it's now directly into both Armenia and Azerbaijan. All right, the leaders of the European Union countries are now calling for a cessation of hostilities in Nagorno-Karabakh. Renewed clashes between Armenia and Azerbaijani forces have been underway since Sunday, with both sides accusing each other of aggression. The two subsequently announced the marshaling of the respective forces, with Baku declaring partial mobilization and Yerevan full mobilization. Fighting continued in Nagorno-Karabakh as both sides published numerous videos of enemy aircraft and military vehicles destroyed during the clashes. Russia, France, and many other countries have called on Armenia and Azerbaijan to cease the hostilities and return to negotiations, while Turkey is supporting Baku, promising aid in talks and in combat, warning that any aggressions against Azerbaijan is an attack against Ankara. I'll leave it to Erdogan to keep things rolling along here. Russia and Turkey talk the Azeri-Armenian conflict and agree on coordination in addressing the ongoing flare-up between Azerbaijan and Armenia. They're agreeing on coordination on their efforts towards stabilization of the situation in the region. The Russian Foreign Ministry reported that the discussion had taken place on Thursday during a telephone conversation between Sergei Lavrov and Mevlut Cavusoglu. It said both the officials confirmed readiness for close coordination of the actions of Russia and Turkey to stabilize the situation with the aim of returning the settlement of the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict to the channel of peaceful talks. All righty. Now, the United States is going to base a massive naval ship in Greece near disputed waters. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said last Tuesday that the U.S. will be basing a massive Navy ship in Souda Bay, a joint U.S.-Greek military base on Greece's island of Crete. The move could be seen as a symbolic show of support from the U.S. for Greece in its maritime spat with Turkey. It's certainly going to complicate things with Armenia and Azerbaijan, I think. Turkey and Greece are locked in a dispute over the resource-rich waters of the Eastern Mediterranean Sea and the Aegean Sea. In August, Turkey sent a research vessel accompanied by warships to waters over which Greece claims exclusive rights. Athens responded by sending warships of its own, which led to a tense standoff between the NATO allies. The USS Herschel Woody Williams that is being deployed to Souda Bay is an expeditionary sea-based ship. This is not the type of ship the U.S. would deploy to intervene if a highly intensive conflict broke out between Ankara and Athens, but the timing of moving the vessel to Crete is sending a clear signal to Turkey. All right. Trump is conditioning removal of Sudan sanctions on recognizing Israel. Sudanese activists took to social media on Saturday in an online campaign against normalization with Israel after reports on Friday emerged of a possible normalization deal between Sudan and Israel next week. The campaign denounced the use of the Palestinian cause as a bargaining chip in efforts to remove Sudan from the U.S. terror list, saying it would not accumulate into any real positive economic change in the ground. The activists also called normalization with Israel as a stab in the back of Palestinian brethren, saying the cause is priceless. The move comes as reports suggest Sudan could become the next Arab country to officially form diplomatic relations with Israel after the U.S. hinted at more Arab countries joining accords struck between the Jewish state and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. All right. China is now accusing India of an illegal move to change Ladakh's status as a border standoff continues. China last Tuesday described India's designation of the region along their disputed border as a union territory, an illegal move, and voiced new objections to infrastructure construction that seemed to strengthen India's position in the area. Foreign Ministry spokesman Wang Wenbin also said that reports of new Chinese military bases and other facilities being built on its side were totally untrue and had ulterior motives. Senior commanders agreed earlier this month not to add more troops along their fast militarizing disputed border in the mountainous Ladakh region, but appear to have made no progress in disengaging their forces from the ongoing standoff, despite previous commitments to do so. Okay, down in South America, or Central America, Secretary of State Michael Pompeo and Colombian President Iván Duque, meeting in Bogota on September 20th, talked about managing the COVID-19 response, narco traffickers, and Maduro's illegitimate regime, according to the State Department. A Cuban observer insists they explored when to begin military actions and sabotage in Venezuela. Elliot Abrams, the White House official responsible for Venezuelan affairs, dismissed the idea of U.S. military engagement as an absurdity, which tells me they're seriously considering it here. Okay, over in Kashmir, tensions are escalating as two Indian soldiers are killed and four wounded in cross-border fire. The Indian Defense Ministry informed Parliament Pakistan had breached ceasefire agreements 3,428 times this year, leaving 10 security personnel dead, dozens injured. Countering the charges, the Pakistani army accused India of committing 2,158 ceasefire violations that resulted in the deaths of 17 civilians. Okay, now the Air Force, in case you're wondering where all that money's been going that the Pentagon won't admit to, the U.S. Air Force has revealed that a new stealth fighter prototype has been secretly built and flown. And this is potentially going to replace the F-22 Raptor or maybe even the unreliable F-35 Lightning II. There's this new stealth jet that could potentially dominate the skies by 2030. Air Force acquisition head Will Roper recently spoke with Defense News and said that the jet, built under the Air Force's Next Generation Air Dominance program, could enter production pretty fast. He said, "We are ready to go and build the next generation aircraft in a way that's never happened before." Well, there's maybe one of the reasons we've been seeing all this UFO stuff in the media and the independent media. So when you see that new prototype whiz by, you think it's an alien spaceship here. All right. The United States Army has received the first of two Iron Dome batteries, but it's unlikely to buy any more. And it received the first of the batteries from Israel Wednesday, just over a year after signing a purchase agreement. Now, the sticking point is that the original purchase agreement included the source code for the control system for the Iron Dome battery. Israel has gone back on that agreement, and because of that, the U.S. Army is saying they're not going to buy any more of those systems. Okay. Turning to the economic news here, U.S. stock futures sink as much as 2% as the Dow plunges more than 350 points and global equities drop after President Trump catches COVID-19. It was kind of a rocky day on the stock market. They got close to breaking even toward the end there. Meanwhile, there's an explosion of bankruptcies and layoffs in the United States. It's like anything we have ever seen before. The cryptos crashed after BitMEX founders and execs face CFTC charges. Gold and iron ore are up, oil is down. Disney is getting ready to lay off 28,000 employees in California and Florida because the coronavirus has just absolutely killed attendance at their amusement parks. 28,000, that's about one quarter of the employees at the various Disney amusement parks. So that's a huge, huge hit. Now, a little bit of good news, Stanley Black & Decker is investing $90 million to shift more Craftsman production back to the United States. They're building a new facility in Fort Worth, 425,000 square foot, where tools ranging from sockets, ratchets, wrenches to general sets will be produced. So the jobs are starting to come back, just not fast enough. Okay, a Kushner-linked firm and the gig economy set to reap huge profits as mass evictions begin. And back in 2014, former Blackstone and Goldman Sachs investment banker Ryan Williams got together with his college buddy, Kushner, Joshua Kushner, to form a real estate investment platform they called Cadre. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out the koshertified.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
Welcome back to our show here, and folks, Republic Broadcasting needs you, and we need you to keep supporting us so that we can keep doing what we're doing. We don't have any large corporations or conservative billionaires pouring money all over us. We're on a shoestring budget. Our control room is held together with duct tape and bailing wire, and we're just barely getting by. And we get it by because of your generosity. And so thanks to all of you who have already donated. And for those of you who have not, shame on you. And if you would like to be granted absolution for your neglect of the network, the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. the network thanks you. Getting on back to the economic news here, Steve Mnuchin and the GOP say they will negotiate with Democrats' new $2.2 trillion COVID package that includes a second round of 1,200 stimulus checks, $600 in extra unemployment, and $225 billion for schools. Now, the House of Representatives has already passed their version of this bill. It's going to the Senate. The sticking point is that Nancy Pelosi wants money to bail out democratically run cities that have run themselves into bankruptcy. And the Republicans are saying no, that we're not going to tax ordinary American people to make up for what were basically bad political decisions here. So Mnuchin is saying the stimulus checks are going to be out there for the American people. And basically, it'll be for people who are earning under $75,000 a year or $150,000 for married couples. They'll receive, you know, the full $1,200 or $2,400 for the married couples, $500 per dependent. Those who are earning more than $99,000 or $198,000 for married couples will not receive the benefit checks. It doesn't look like they need them anyway. Okay, China pork reserves at risk of running out in months as prices soar. Now, you probably remember not too long ago, China was hit by the African swine fever, and they were having to destroy huge numbers of pigs, and it's created a shortage. And China could be on the brink of exhausting its massive frozen pork reserves as the country's pig herd is wiped out. Declining reserves are particularly bad news for the Communist Party of China, which is worried that it might not be able to prevent another destabilizing surge in prices. Okay, some 3,500 U.S. companies are suing the Trump administration over the Chinese tariffs. And these companies include Tesla, Ford Motor Company, Target Corp, Walgreens, Home Depot. And they've sued the Trump administration in the last 2 weeks over the imposition of tariffs on more than $300 billion worth of Chinese-made goods. Turning to immigration and naturalization, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement is prepping for a major operation in many sanctuary cities. Trump's administration is planning to launch an immigrant enforcement operation next month, specifically pointing at American cities that have adopted sanctuary policies. Well, it's about time, actually. The Immigration and Customs Enforcement operation could begin later this week in California before being extended to other cities, including Denver and Philadelphia. Now, France is out there demanding that every European Union country be forced to take in a share of illegal immigrants arriving on European soil. Speaking to France Inter on Wednesday, Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin asserted that the migration question can only be settled at the European level and that every EU nation must share the burden of resettling third world migrants. Darmanin said, "We still want a European solidarity. There's no reason why only Italy, France, and Germany, broadly speaking, with Greece, share this solidarity." All right. The European Commission still does not understand the solution to illegal migration, the Czech Prime Minister Babiš says after a new policy announcement. Babiš has rejected the new EU migration policy proposal, calling parts of it nonsense. Brussels wants countries to admit relocated asylum seekers and also to pay for sending them back home. At first glance, it seems like the European Commission still does not understand that the solution to illegal migration is to stop the illegal migrants when they arrive on European soil, which certainly makes a lot of sense to me. Okay. Julian Assange, his extradition hearing has come to a close, but we're not expecting a decision until next spring. But the illegal and unwarranted prosecution of Julian Assange by the U.S. government in a British court, Star Chamber, it's a prosecution of the First Amendment. It will prevent journalists in the future from informing the public of criminal activity by the government. This is already the case in a number of countries, and the U.S. and Britain are about to join them. Washington, working through a British judge and a British prosecutor, is murdering the First Amendment. All right, we got to take another break for commercials. We'll start taking phone calls after these two words from our sponsors. Oh, yeah.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You've got the money, honey. We got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York City.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about Julian Assange, and apparently a big part of the U.S. case against Julian Assange is a claim that he was tried to crack passwords into government databases, that he assisted somebody else in doing that, which would definitely put him in violation of the Espionage Act. But apparently that whole argument has pretty much fallen apart. And apparently, at the end of the third week of the extradition trial, allegations related to this were entirely discredited by Patrick Eller, who was a command digital forensic examiner responsible for a team of more than 80 examiners at the U.S. Army Criminal Investigation Command headquarters in Quantico. And apparently they had an anonymous witness detailed an alleged CIA plot to kill Julian Assange. All right, we're going to open the phone lines now, 800-313-9443, and we're going to take a phone call from Seth in Oklahoma. Hello, Seth. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
It's an honor to speak with you, sir. I just say thank you for everything you've done. All wars are bankers' wars. I mean, it was an amazing piece that you made. And I mean, it changed my life. I mean, it was very good work. And when this is all said and done with my history books, I mean, you'll go down. I don't know. Just thank you for everything you've done, sir, very, very much. And
well, thank you very much. I'm not looking forward to seeing my name in the history books. In fact, I rather doubt I'll be around to read them.
Well, yeah, I think none of us will be, but but hopefully our children will. And
they'll raise statues to me, and the pigeons of the world shall rejoice.
Well, there's nobody else like you, sir. I mean, you're
well, thank you. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, if we had more people like you, I don't know if they would. I don't know, but it's pretty bad where we're at. The state of the country is, or the world, I guess, for that matter. But I had one more thing else to say that. I've been doing this CE5. I'm totally off the thing. I know you're an atheist and you don't believe in God or whatnot. But I have been doing I've for 10 years now. I pray and meditate for peace on earth and no more starvation and everybody gets together and no more war. And I pray to God and I see stuff. I know it sounds crazy and I know you don't like to touch the subject at all on your radio station. And but it's just if it's okay, I would like to email you my stuff that But I pray and meditate, and my children see it. We see it every night. But I would like to email you if that's okay with you.
Sure.
And with that, that's fine. Okay. Well, I'll email it to you. And thank you again, sir. And God bless you and Claire.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the kind words, and thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Sebastian in Sweden. Hello, Sebastian. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Oh, hello, Mike. Hey, well, I thought I had to wait a while. Hey, listen. No, you were talking about the immigration earlier, about Italy and France, I think, and Germany. And let's not forget Sweden. Let me tell you, I came here in 1970, and it was zero. The Muslim population here was 0.20%. Today, 2020, it is 20%. So we have it's just everywhere in this country. And the government puts them out in small communities. And there's one community that there was an ice cream truck, and the kids circled the ice cream truck and wouldn't let it, you know, and they wanted to get all the ice cream free. And then the next day, the people who the morning paper, who give out the morning paper, they stole his car. I mean, it's everywhere, and they call this place Little Mogadishu, and it's in a landscape called Dalarna, like a state called Dalarna. And Dalarna is where the Swedish horse, if you heard about that, the Dalarna horse, you know, the famous carved horse comes from. But anyway, it's like 80 bombings this year, and, you know, apartment buildings, car bombings. It's on and on and on, and it's just getting worse. So I hope Sweden doesn't take any more. We have enough now. We don't want any more immigrants. And they're living off the welfare, and they're, you know, trying to buck the system about skimming in payrolls. They're in some forms of government. They got into government, so they're giving out the welfare checks now. And it's just it just goes on and on and on, and people are really sick of it. And it's and now they had this Dane that came up with the Quran, and now it's caught on here. And they had they were using the Quran as a football, because in Sweden we do have freedom of expression, and it's not in the law. You have a right to do anything with a book, regardless if it's a Bible or, you know, unfortunately I don't like it, you know, holy books, but. It's just, you know, it's got to stop. You know, I don't mind it anymore. First, I didn't like it. I said, that's a holy book. But, I mean, they're doing so much in this country. It's just terrible. And, it's just getting bad. And I feel sorry for Donald Trump and his wife getting the corona. I hope it doesn't help hinder the election. But another thing I want to talk about is real quick, I think there are a lot of people that immigrated from California to Texas and also from New York to Florida. So Tom in Florida, you know, and the people in Texas, I think it's going to be a problem. They're trying to swing those two states now. They're trying to make them blues, completely different from
blue
Europe.
States.
Yeah, blue states. Yeah, but they're different. Blue in Europe means conservative, and red means like Communist Party in Europe. It means, you know, completely opposite. Yeah, but I hope that doesn't happen. Okay, you and Claire, have a nice weekend. Take care of yourselves.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call. Getting on back to the news, we're talking about Julian Assange. Apparently, this high-profile extradition hearing of Julian Assange blocked human rights groups from monitoring the trial here. And Julia Hall, an expert on criminal justice and human rights for Amnesty International, revealed that her organization was denied entry despite their repeated request to be recognized as fair trial monitors. I wonder what they're trying to hide there. Apparently, there was a WhiteHouse.gov petition to pardon Julian Assange. That's been blocked by Facebook. You can't mention that on Facebook. They'll take it down. There's several petitions actually out there to free Julian Assange. All righty. Now then, getting on over to corporate media here, Netflix is experiencing a huge backlash for their release of the film Cuties. Now, despite winning a film festival award, the movie about a dance troupe of twerking 11-year-olds did not sit well with the American audience. And Netflix is feeling the brunt of the outrage from angry subscribers and catching bipartisan flack from the nation's elected leaders. Apparently, a lot of customers are canceling their subscriptions because of this. And I can understand why. I mean, maybe that sort of thing is acceptable over in France, but here in the United States, with all the attention that's being focused on pedophilia and other such sick behavior, I can understand why Netflix people are very upset. So after Netflix premiered Cuties, cancel Netflix, hashtag cancel Netflix began trending on Twitter and other social media platforms, and the pushback from infuriated Americans caused a massive decline in subscriptions. Reports are circulating that Netflix lost $9 billion in market value since the hashtag went viral. People are starting to reassert American values on corporate media, and I think that's a good thing here. Okay, over in San Francisco, residents are on high alert as home invasions spike 42%. There's a spate of brazen break-ins throughout the city, according to KPIX5, which notes that burglaries in the city were up 42% in the first 9 months of the year versus the same period in 2019. One San Francisco neighborhood saw a 75% increase in burglaries. Thieves used to target tourists for smash and grabs, but now they seem to be stealing goods and money from residents' homes, with few travelers coming to the city. There have been 5,118 break-ins at homes and businesses from January 1st through September 20th. That's a 42% increase over the same time period last year, when there were 3,602 burglaries, according to crime data collected by the San Francisco Police Department. Okay. Now, we mentioned this before, but we're going to mention it again because I have a question to ask. California Governor Newsom has announced a ban on all gasoline-powered cars by 2035. He wants everybody driving electric vehicles. Here's the problem. California's electric utilities are struggling just to keep up with current demand. They're having rolling blackouts out there. What's going to happen when everybody's got an electric car they're plugging in to recharge overnight? So Newsom obviously was not thinking this all the way through. It's a pander to the environmental wackos, and it sounds good, but there are some practical issues unless they start going back to building some more power utilities here. I mean, they're trying to do everything on solar cells and windmills, and, you know, the irresistible force has hit the immovable object, and something's going to have to give here. Okay, now let's see. The Department of Justice is nearing an antitrust action on Google. Trump is eyeing a tech curb. The Trump administration moves toward antitrust action against search giant Google. It's campaigning to enlist support from sympathetic state attorneys generals across the country. Trump pushed his campaign against big tech, touting curbs on legal protections for social media platforms he denounces as biased against conservative views. Okay, we're going to take a phone call now from Al in Canada. Hello, Al. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike.
Al, are you there? There you are.
I am now.
Okay.
I heard the almost like flushing me down the toilet.
Well, it's a signal to let the caller know they're on the air.
Yep. You were just talking about that disgraceful thing there, that filthy film from France.
Cooties. Yeah.
I was almost going to say cooties, but it's cuties. I'm still thinking it's got this Colvin thing. And anyway, that was a couple of weeks ago. And when that came out, a friend of mine called me because I don't have Netflix. I don't use any of that nonsense.
Yeah.
And he told me about it. And I said, yeah, I know. I've already heard. You know, I was reading about it like 2 days, like a day before or something. He said, I canceled Netflix. That's disgusting. He went into this big, long, you know, swearing rant about these pedophiles. So, because incrementally they try to normalize this sort of behavior, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. So, actually, Netflix they lost over $9 billion in market share. Well, not market share, and
company value.
What do they call that? Company value, it's all crapple anyway. It doesn't mean anything. The more they print, you know, the thing is, the funny thing is, Mike, now they could just print this cash, you know, create it out of thin air and put it pretty much anywhere they want, right? So,
yes.
You know, what does market share mean? It doesn't mean anything. And then yesterday I was talking to you about MSG that they put it as a preservative or something like that in vaccinations. And it was a while since I've looked this stuff up, but now I'm looking at it. And so MSG is an excitotoxin.
Okay.
It actually will force your neurons to fire rapidly to the point where they just burn out.
Okay.
Yeah, because yesterday you said you were talking about aspartame. Well, aspartame's kind of the same thing.
Yes.
It does the same sort of thing, right?
Yes.
So, you know, this stuff, Jesus. And then, of course, there are so many other side effects of MSG and all this nonsense they're putting in these shots that they stick in your arm. Even, you know what, Mike? I know someone that's doing chemo right now for that Monsanto glyphosate nonsense, right?
Yes.
He's 76, and he has that. He has that cancer. Now,
non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Yeah. And with him, it's not life-threatening as long as he keeps doing chemo. But what happened to him a couple of weeks ago is when they went to put the needle in his arm, what they did was, what the hell did they do? Oh, no, it was something else. He had another shot. It was another shot for something else. I can't remember what it was, but it was kind of like a flu shot or it was some kind of vaccination, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to go into a muscle, and they hit a vein, and they pumped it right into his bloodstream. Now, he didn't die, but he almost did. He almost did. He came really close to it. You know, he's an older fella.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, he's kind of weak now because he's doing chemo like three times a year now. So for six he goes like on these six week stints.
Yeah.
Because of the glyphosate. Well, he's a farmer, right?
Anyway, yes.
So like there you go. It's like I said a long, long time ago. Anytime anyone has a needle put in them, there is always a risk.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what's inside of it. There's a risk. That's just the way it is. So anyway, after this happened, Mike, they actually decided to put in one of those shunt things in his arm for his chemo.
You mean a stent?
Yeah. Because, you know, they screwed up, and he's complained about, you know, some of these nurses, they can't find a vein, so they're poking them all over the place, blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah. Anyway, that's all I have to say. It just goes to show you, Mike, healthcare isn't much better up here than it is down there, except it's quicker.
And cheaper.
Up there, like down where you are, it's quicker.
It's quicker, but it's cheaper up where you are. All right, well, thank you very much.
For is it cheaper? You know.
Well,
We don't have doctors making $3 or $4 million a year, right?
Yeah.
So you know.
All right.
I mean,
well,
thanks a lot.
I'm going to have to let you go. We got a commercial break coming up here, and getting up to the top of the hour, and the lovely Lady Claire. So we'll be right back after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome back to our show here. Article over in Land Destroyer Blogspot. Nations should begin removing Facebook, Twitter, and Google from their information space. And it says legal options are a start. The ultimate goal should be replacing Facebook, Twitter, and Google with local alternatives like Russia, China, and many other nations are already doing. And I guess they're just not very happy about American mega corporations deciding that they're going to control what people are seeing here. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Glenn in Philadelphia. Hello, Glenn. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Yeah, I noticed you had the one caller calling in who was expressing his gratitude and praising you for your unique perspective. And, you know, just, you know, absolutely, there's no doubt they definitely broke the mold before they made you, Mike.
Yes, they did.
But I wanted to chime in about the Chinese tariffs. I'm a little dismayed that our techno-oligarchs are against tariffs. Tariffs are standard operating procedure throughout the world in international trade, and they serve a purpose in keeping up domestic employment and production and wages and that sort of thing. And they can also function as a sanction, you know, sort of a China, a protest of their abysmal treatment of their workers. You know, we've had a pretty hands-off policy in terms of human rights in China in recent decades. I mean, you have to kind of go back to, like, even the Nixon era in the 70s when they started to normalize relations with China, but still upheld protests about human rights issues. Today, nobody even touches that at all. You know, Xi Jinping can get away with, like, whatever he wants. And, you know, if our techno-oligarchs, you know, get us to stand down from tariffs, it's going to hurt our jobs, it's going to hurt our productivity, and it's not going to make any point with China about human rights issues. So I'm not quite sure what Elon Musk or anybody else's objections are relative to the Chinese tariff issue. That's all I have.
Okay, well, I know there's been a big stink about China's treatment of the Muslims. So it's not like they're getting a complete clean slate on any of this.
Right, right. They sort of have to acknowledge it. I mean, the Uyghur Muslims in camps and stuff like that. I mean, a lot of them are treated pretty much like the way they treat the Falun Gong or Christians and, you know, organ harvesting and all that sort of thing. So, our objections are tepid at best. You know, we wouldn't do that. Okay.
Well, that's because we're too dependent on China for manufactured goods, and I think probably it would be a good idea for us to become less dependent on China, which, of course, is part of the Trump platform. And Biden's apparently hopping on board that now, saying that he wants America's future to be made in America. So that's one area where both the candidates seem to be in agreement.
Right. Well, hopefully, yeah. There have been stories, you know, in recent years, this year and a half, about China warehousing a surplus goods that they couldn't export.
Okay, I'm going to have to let you go. We got to take a break.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a break for station identification and back with the lovely Lady Claire after these few words.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile Oxy Silver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.